Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's NRF 2023 Holiday Forecast Press Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and 1 on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw yourself from the queue by pressing star and 2. Please note this call is recorded, and I will be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Bill Thorne with the National Retail Federation.
Hello, and thank you all for joining us today for the National Retail Federation's 2023 Holiday Forecast Discussion. I'm Bill Thorne, Senior Vice President of Communications and Public Affairs, and this morning we're going to hear from the NRF President and CEO, Matthew Shea, and NRF Chief Economist, Jack Kleinhans. So to kick things off, let's go to Matt to discuss our holiday sales forecasts. Matt, what can you tell us about expectations?
Thanks, Bill. Everyone, thanks for joining us today for the conversation about holiday spending and retail sales and the health of the consumer. And I think that's really a good place to begin, is to talk about the consumer in spite of the uncertainty in the economy and the challenges that the households are facing. We've seen strength and resilience across the consumer sector. Certainly there's been evolution in the way consumers are allocating their dollars from month to month on their spending. And yet strong consumer spending, which makes up approximately 70% of our economic activity, has kept the economic expansion on a steady and solid path forward. We know consumers are becoming more cautious in the face of inflation and rising interest rates and the impact of monetary policy decisions, and yet those consumers continue to spend on household priorities. And their capacity to spend and their resources to devote to those priorities, especially on essential items, has been supported by wage growth and the resilience and strength of the job market, the historically low unemployment rate. And we think that that's going to continue to support consumer activity throughout the holiday season. For a little recent historic context, retail sales have now grown year over year for 41 consecutive months. That's every month since May of 2020, as we began to climb out of the impact, at least the immediate impact of the pandemic and the impact to the economy of COVID in the first and early part of the second quarter of 2020. And for the first 9 months of this year, retail sales, consumer spending has been up 3.7% compared to the same period last year. And I guess to continue with a little more context, pre-pandemic, on an annual basis, retail sales were growing at 3.6% annually. So when you put all those things together, I think we're looking at consumer behavior and economic activity and retail sales that are very much in line with, or frankly, slightly better than pre-pandemic averages. Now, we know the winter holidays are especially important for retailers, of course, but also an important tradition for American families who are out celebrating and who make decisions throughout the year to prioritize and allocate the resources they need to make those spending decisions and those holiday purchases. And that also plays a role in the way in which we think about this forecast and the way in which we anticipate consumer behavior. When our chief economist, when Jack speaks in a minute, he'll talk about the methodology and some of the other background that goes into this. And as many of you know that have followed this forecast, this goes back, two decades, and we've continued to evolve the methodology and deliver very very reflective forecasting on what's happening in the economy. But, and Jack will elaborate on some of that, but I just want to note again, we all recognize there are some headwinds that are impacting consumers and that are going to continue to play a role in the final months of this year. Certainly, consumers pay close attention to gasoline prices, and that definitely has an impact on spending. We're looking at the use of credit, paying close attention to credit card balances, and we recognize that in some cases, depending on the type of credit, you know, the interest rate increases are having an impact on that, and those borrowing costs are on the rise. Depending upon the measures we use, and there are different measures, and this is a harder number to pin down, there's been much discussion of sort of the pandemic savings and surplus savings that consumers possess that's helped power these spending decisions. So we are taking a look at that and how consumers are applying that to their spending decisions. We know that certainly in some categories of goods and some parts of our economy, we see persistent inflationary pressures, and we're aware of other demands on household spending, like the resumption of student loan payment obligations. And we know that, as we heard the Fed chairman mention yesterday, we're seeing the labor market come back into some alignment, but we know that you know, the same kind of pressures on the job market that were present 24 months ago have diminished somewhat. And then there are the external factors outside of specifically economic issues, the threat of a government shutdown, the decisions that policymakers and elected leaders are making, what could happen there and how that impacts the economy, and geopolitical issues as well that we know are present and on everyone's minds. I think our sense is that the cumulative effect of all of these things is going to show some moderation in consumer behavior relative to the last several years of holiday spending. I think that's something that was predictable and ultimately inescapable as the economy starts to come back into better balance, both supply, demand, excess savings, and the stimulus, both fiscal and monetary, of $10 trillion combined that we put into the economy in the immediate aftermath of the pandemic. So, again, having said all those things, we know, and we'll discuss this in our consumer survey, that more than 9 out of 10, 92% of adults plan to celebrate the winter holidays. According to the results of our survey, we know that they'll be out there engaged in commerce. They'll be shopping, they'll be celebrating, they'll be entertaining, and they'll be spending money and powering the economy. And while they're doing so, they'll be looking, as has been very clear for the last few months, they'll be looking for deals, for discounts, finding ways to make the most out of the monthly paychecks that they're taking home. And those spending decisions are going to be done in a deliberate way designed to bring the most value for them, families, and their loved ones. So for purposes of our holiday forecast, just as a reminder, the NRF measures the holiday season as consumer activity between November 1st and December 31st. And this year, we are forecasting that holiday sales will increase and grow between 3 and 4% above last year's holiday season. So 3 to 4% increase. That works out to between $960 billion and $967 billion in spending, 960 to 966. And that is compared to last year, $930 billion in total spending during 2022. And last year's holiday sales growth were above 5%, 5.4%, right in the middle range there. So this year will be record level of spending, It's growth on top of good growth last year as well. And we think it's still consistent with or will be slightly better than the pre-pandemic average holiday increase, which was right around 3.6% from 2010 to 2019. So that's the forecast. And I will just make a couple quick comments on consumer trends and some of the other things we're seeing. One of the features of the way consumers behave during the holiday season we've seen the last several years is that consumers get an earlier start than ever. They've embraced an earlier kickoff to the holiday season. Retailers have met that that expectation, and so now we see, of course, all the way back into the summer, different kinds of deals and promotions. We see spending pulled forward into the earlier months, and that has helped consumers find the right deals, allocate their dollars, stretch the budgets, and in many ways contributes to total increase in aggregate spending. Our research on the consumer side shows that during the past few years, almost half of holiday shoppers, 43%, start browsing and buying before November. So gone are the days when the Friday after Thanksgiving was the kickoff. As important as that weekend remains, we know that 4 out of 10 are taking advantage of retailers' special events earlier in the season in October. And again, this results in some sales being pulled forward. And nevertheless, we know that November, December will be strong months. We'll continue to see promotions, deals, opportunities for consumers to continue to keep them engaged. And we know that as a result of that changed behavior, retailers continue to evolve their planning, their inventory distribution, their promotional calendar, all of those things to meet consumer expectations. On the e-commerce side, online shopping and the convergence of digital and physical has continued apace since the pandemic. Our forecast includes both online and non-store sales as well as in-person and in-store sales. And we expect the online and non-store sales to increase between 7 and 9% or a total of between $274 billion and $279 billion. And that figure is up from $256 billion last year. And as is consistent with the past several years, nearly 60% of holiday shoppers plan to shop online, 58% plan to shop online, and nearly half, 49%, plan to shop at department stores, and nearly half, 48%, at discount stores. And then, of course, many shoppers, 44%, at grocery stores and supermarkets. So we see distribution across segments, across experiences, across categories, which I think speaks to the way consumers have evolved and the way retailers have adapted their offerings to meet consumer expectations. Now, I mentioned that in addition to our forecast, we also do an annual holiday survey of consumers. And for just a minute on that, our survey of consumer spending plans for core holiday items includes gifts, decorations, food, and other holiday-related purchases. And this year's survey indicates consumers plan to spend approximately $875 on these kinds of purchases. That's $42 more than they've spent in 2022 and is in line with the average holiday budget for households over the past 5 years. So I'll just reiterate again, the holiday sales growth forecast for this year, 2023, is between 3 and 4%, which is between $958 to $967 billion compared to $930 billion last year. And I guess I'll just finish quickly with two other thoughts. One, of course, is the people that make all this economic activity possible. And those are the team members, the associates, the workers that power retailers and help power our economy. And this holiday season, we expect retailers will hire between 350 and 450,000 seasonal workers, 350 to 450,000. And that's in line with last year's seasonal hires of 390,000, which would be about right in the middle of this year's expectation. And we know, and I think we've talked before about the fact that because of the changed calendar for holiday spending and shopping, retailers have also evolved their hiring decisions. So some of the hiring that used to really occur at the very end of the holiday season is now happening earlier in the year throughout the summer and fall, and is being integrated into other hiring decisions and pulled forward just as the spending activity is being pulled forward. And then just to touch on the methodology before I give it over to Jack, a number of factors go into the forecast, which Jack will explain. 20 plus different dimensions to this, which include a variety of economic data indicators, including things like GDP, employment, income, inflation, and consumer finance, debt, credit, all of those things. I guess I would just say that while that factors into the forecast, and that's the basis for the forecast, we know this is the time of year that impacts families, and that many of these spending decisions are based equally on financial ability and means as much as on emotion and tradition, and that does play a role in the holiday season. So our members, I know, having spoken to many of them lately and been with many of them over the last few weeks, are looking forward to this holiday season. They're well prepared to meet consumer expectations. And we're looking forward to having a conversation with you to discuss this. And I will now hand over to Bill and Jack and let them take us forward.
Thank you, Matt. Very insightful. I'm going to turn it over now to our NRF chief economist, Jack Kleinhens. He's going to give a little more insight into the forecast and the overall economic expectations for the 2023 holiday season. Jack.
Thanks, Matt, and thanks, Bill. I'm happy to unpack some of the key elements of our forecast. You know, as Matt mentioned, I think we have to recognize that we're looking at a period of November 1st through December 31st. Other forecasts do consider a broader monthly schedule. Also to mention, when we publish our data on retail sales, we're excluding automobile dealers, gasoline stations, and restaurants. And that's important as you look at the top line from the census versus what we are using in terms of retail sales. Also important is when we produce the data, we're looking at factors that are not adjusted for inflation. So these are nominal numbers, and we are also looking at year-over-year numbers that haven't been seasonally adjusted. Of course, as Matt just mentioned, we have a number of metrics and judgment that goes into the modeling of this year and our annual forecast. I'd like to just mention that the last few years, the holiday shopping season has been filled with unmatched peculiarities for consumers and retailers alike. And this year, there's a whole new set of dynamics in place. And we have both pluses and minuses. Let's just kind of expand a little further that Matt had mentioned. Consumers remain in the driver's seat. They are a factor. The latest figures on the economy last week show the economy is holding together pretty well. GDP growth was exceptional at 4.9%. Now, this burst was due to a number of factors, so maybe one-off types of things in terms of inventory accumulation and also government spending. Consumers were right there at the plate betting on a real basis as the GDP numbers come out are adjusted for inflation, but consumers basically came in with a 4.0% quarter-to-quarter annualized growth. That's pretty good, although it is much different than what we've seen the previous quarter. It was less than 1% in the second quarter. Now, one last thing about the GDP numbers, and we'll see as we go forward on the calendar that, they are subject to re-estimation, and they are also at this point based on some incomplete data. So beware, there could be some changes to these factors. Now, Matt noted there's mounting growth on threats, headwinds, and they remain in place. But fortunately, I don't believe they're increasing. There are issues, though, that we have to worry about. We just heard within the last day or so, consumers continue to lack confidence in the economy. Some of the data that's come out suggests that consumers' near-term outlook for income, business, and job market conditions are weighed down by the higher interest rate and inflation expectations. And there is some, issues relative to borrowing costs and, of course, some political stress. And in fact, thinking about interest rates, I mean, we are seeing some phenomenal rates that we haven't seen in many years. Credit card costs are at 20% on a per annum basis. Mortgages are at 7 to 8%. Car loans, 7%. Prime borrowing is 8%. You know, we're talking about the consumer, but also for small businesses where they need to borrow, it's also a constraint. But nonetheless, consumers keep spending. We'll get some updated figures on household borrowing and indebtedness next week from the New York Fed, so stay tuned. Let's just turn a little bit to inflation and prices. Certainly, that's a critical path, as I've just mentioned, for consumers. And we've seen some improvement. The 12-month change in inflation appears to be coming down, actually a little bit faster, perhaps, than what the Fed had originally, but the Fed would like to see it come down much further than where it is. The personal consumption price index stands at about 3.4% on a year-over-year basis. It was 3.8% in the second quarter. So we're making some progress. And when you actually examine retail prices using the PCE price index, we are well below the overall index considerably. And, of course, considerably below the price level for services. Now, in terms of employment prospects, the third quarter strength in spending and momentum was really signaled by the labor market. We saw a gain of 260,000 in payrolls in September and upward revisions in job growth for July and August. Well, that fed into consumer spending, although I do expect, as we've modeled, the pace of job growth to moderate to a slower increase, and that will probably impact some consumer spending. New jobs create new income, create new spending. And we're still waiting to see the cumulative effect of tighter monetary policy and tighter financial conditions. So I as we think about the next quarter going into 2024, I think the consumer will be still engaged, but we also will see some softening. Now, we'll get more data tomorrow on the employment picture. And one thing there is in terms of hiring, we talked about seasonal hiring. Actually, when you look at summer season, actually started off a little bit later than in the past, and we saw more engaged in September that we would normally not see. So there might be some difficulty in sorting out some of the seasonal adjustment data. Nonetheless, we do expect that we will see somewhere between 345,000 and 450,000 seasonal workers. Now, retail seems to be normalizing. We got some data just yesterday on hiring and openings, and hires are around 750,000, and it's matching the openings. And then finally, one point there, too, is that the unemployment rate for retail workers are still pretty low, relatively speaking. It's bouncing around between 4 and 4.9%, but still well within where the national range is. One last thing in terms of the employment issue, and I think it's very important, is that private wages and salaries were up 4.4% over the year. And that's important that wages are going up as fast or faster than inflation in many cases, and that will continue to help us see the consumer out and about for this holiday season. One important factor that I think is a positive that hasn't probably been mentioned so far is the fact that the U.S. Energy Information Administration expects that heating prices for U.S. households to remain relatively flat and or possibly decrease this season, and that should be really good news for household budgets. Energy costs are approximately 2.5% a share of income. A lot depends upon, income cohort, but that's a factor that should weigh into it. And thinking of weather, it's also an issue. It's something we can't really model, but it will be important as we go forward, depending on the strength and persistence of this weather phenomena that we're seeing right now, the El Nino. There could be footprints on the holiday retail spending. So let me conclude. Last year's holiday sales grew 5.4%, and it was exceptional, but reflected rising rates of inflation and excess savings at the time. Now inflation still persists, but a good factor that we're seeing is that the households have been able to navigate reasonably well through much of this inflation. And to reiterate, the NRF is forecasting holiday retail sales will increase between 3 and 4% above last year's holiday season. And I think this is also consistent with our forecast that we've made earlier this year, where the year should run about 4% over 2022. So Bill and Matt, that's my comments for the time being.
Jack, thank you very much. Hey, Shelby, could you please open up the lines for questions? Just give people instructions on how that should be done.
Absolutely. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may remove yourself from the queue at any time by pressing star two. Once again, that is star and one to ask a question. We will pause for a moment to allow questions to queue. And we'll take our first question from Courtney Reagan with CNBC. Your line is open.
Hi there. I know that Jack had mentioned, and obviously it is likely to, for consistency's sake over the years, that the forecast runs from November 1st to December 31st. But with so much emphasis on this pull forward that, Matt, you talked about too, and these early sort of kickoff holiday sales, both at Amazon and Target, I mean, some of our country's biggest retailers, should we just sort of assume that whatever the number does come in ultimately is likely underestimating the total capture of holiday sales? I mean, how do we sort of account for what was sold in October that doesn't get captured in these numbers?
Jack, let's start with you, and then Matt, you might have some thoughts on that as well.
Well, you do make a good point. I think from a statistical standpoint, we've been traditionally looking at November and December, so that's sort of how we have modeled it. And so there is a spillover. You could make the same argument for January in some cases, for gift cards that get purchased but aren't used until January, and that's when those get counted. So we've kind of just put a stake in the ground and kind of adhered to the history, but recognize that there will be the spillover from October, or even the possibilities for some spillover into January.
Matt, any thoughts?
Yeah, Courtney, good morning. I think you make a good point in as much as we would say that, you know, going back 20 years, the holiday forecast of 20 years ago, to try to compare that number, November 1 to December 31, to the current time frame, it wouldn't really be an accurate comparison, because back then we know consumers really did start their shopping much later in the holiday season. And now we do know that some of it is pulled forward, and that probably impacts both the November-December sales numbers, actual numbers, our forecast, of course, as well as elevates September and October to a certain extent, or maybe even earlier than that. And so I think it's probably occurred gradually over time as consumer behaviors evolved. We did see during the pandemic, people did shop much earlier. And we know a couple of years ago when we had supply chain issues and stockouts on things, we know sales got pulled forward that season even more dramatically, because people were concerned in 21 they wouldn't have the goods in place. It does make it a little bit challenging to get exact comparisons because the change behavior. I think Jack's probably right. Directionally, what we're still seeing here is the majority of holiday activity occurring in November, December. And so for comparison purposes, you know, we're approximately in the right place. But to be exact about it, I think you're right. We'd have to account for what occurs in the earlier months. And, you know, then you even have, how do you sort out the spending in October that's Halloween versus other holiday? But you make a good point, and I think it just speaks to the complexity of the environment, of consumer behaviors, evolution, of post-pandemic trend lines, and all those things that make forecasting a challenge both for us and you and for retailers.
Thank you, Courtney. Next.
And we'll take our next question from Hope King with Axios. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for holding the call. First question, Jack, can you say a little bit more about the heating costs that are expected to maybe impact household budgets? In the past, has there been, you know, a cause and effect where you see if energy costs are going down that the budgets for spending do go up? And then just one question on recession predictions. Obviously, those were all pushed away this year. What are you guys seeing for next year? Thank you.
Well, you have to go back and take a look at now. A heating cost is going to differ by region. And we know, like, the price of oil really factors into heating oil. And the Energy Information Administration is suggesting that a large portion of heating is with natural gas, and natural gas prices are falling, or they're expecting it to fall. Heating oil might be a little higher than electricity prices, but their overall, I'm using their estimations as an indication of maybe a little bit more freedom in the average budget. And now, of course, it's going to be different if you live in the New England area, which I think is still dependent on heating oil. So, but in general, you know, 2 to 3% of a house budget goes to heating costs, and that's a considerable amount of money for especially lower income cohorts. So any addition that you get from lower costs could be obviously applied to maybe some holiday spending.
Hope, did you have any? I think you asked a couple of questions right there.
Just the second one was on recession predictions for next year, since they were pushed off so much this year. Is it just what we're going to see during the holiday season will give you the clues for what happens next year?
We've been in the camp, even with our annual forecast, that we did not expect a recession this year. We felt that the economy was still pretty strong. The consumer was there. Job growth was there. Of course, we had the benefit of some of this stockpile of savings. At this point, you know, I think that you're seeing or expecting some slowing in the economy right now. I think it'll carry over as it typically does into the first quarter, but there's a lot of issues right now that need to be sorted out and some uncertainties, whether it be monetary policy, fiscal policy, and even geopolitical events that are going to certainly event. So at this point, I think we're just seeing a softer pace than what we've seen, but yet I'm not in the recession camp for 2024.
Thanks, Jack. Shelby, next question.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Melissa Repko with CNBC. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you for having this call. I have two questions. One is I just wanted to confirm and clarify how this compares to historic levels of increase. From what I remember last year, this is below the typical average for growth, and wanted to get you to comment a little bit more on that. And I also, Jack, wanted to get your thoughts on monitoring credit card borrowing rates and how you think that may play out in January, February on the other side of this holiday spending.
Jack.
Can I take the second question first?
You may. Okay. You may.
Thanks for your permission, Bill. I know that overall credit is higher. The balances are higher, and we're also seeing higher credit card interest rates. Nonetheless, as we think about the consumer, they have been able to support these payments, their minimum payments. If you look at the Federal Reserve's numbers on the balances relative to disposable personal income, it's still at a relatively low level. And we're also seeing still job growth, and we'll still see wage growth. So consequently, I think that there will be pieces and parts depending upon perhaps different kind of consumers and households that are going to be certainly finding it more difficult to meet their payments. But nonetheless, I don't think it is a major headwind for spending this this holiday season.
First question.
Could you repeat the first question?
Yes, I wanted to get commentary around this level, this prediction of 3 to 4% falling below the average holiday sales growth over the past 10 years, which was about 5%, 4.9.
Well, the 10-year period between 2010 and 2019 was 3.6%. And if you take the last 3 years, what did we come up with, like 5.1%? But, you know, the last two or three years is quite an anomaly, especially because of the shortages and the price increases because of shortages, inventory issue. We couldn't go out and spend in 2020, 2021, and then all of a sudden we have the burst of freedom and get out of our houses. So it's really a better way to look at it from, I believe, the 10-year prior to the pandemic. So we're right about where we would be generally on trend.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Shelby?
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Andy Inezio with Associated Press. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks.
Hi, Ann.
How are you? Can you drill down some of the categories, product categories you think will do well and won't do well, and just how higher interest rates are going to affect it? And as we know, you know, it's been affected, you know, electronics and big purchases have been affected by higher interest rates. And then I just have another question that's not related, but regarding the Israel Hamas war, are you finding that they're going to increase security given what's going on, you know, to protect workers and shoppers and maybe even more training to help workers de-escalate issues? Thank you.
You know, Matt, you've had the opportunity over the last 24 hours in preparation for this call to talk to a number of our global retail CEOs, some of the largest brands. And, you know, I know that you've had a question, you know, what's keeping you up at night, and the geopolitical has come up. I mean, what are you hearing from them?
Good morning. Yeah, I mean, I think in general, to answer Bill's question, the uncertainty that exists in the current environment is pretty substantial relative to things happening in other parts of the world, how that impacts the U.S., how that impacts consumer psyche. I think supply chain issues exist at a level, but have moderated substantially. Inventories in place. We hit our peak import month in August, so I think the goods are here. I don't think we're going to see any impact from geopolitical issues relative to the supply chain or inventory levels. We talked about the political and the policy challenges. You know, the last few weeks of behavior on Capitol Hill, particularly on the House side, and trying to get things in order there so we could have a orderly progression toward keeping the government open and funding government services. That's, of course, thing that we're all watching closely. There are a number of policy issues, to be even more specific, that we care about, and providing the right kind of resources, for example, on organized retail crime is part of that. We hosted a major event on Capitol Hill last week. Some of you were able to attend. We had 30 brands, 50 or 60 of our members, a dozen members of Congress, representatives and senators there with us to pursue elevated awareness about the issue, the challenges, provide more resources, passing legislation that will provide those resources. So, I think that, and your question on that topic, we were with a group of our CEOs a few weeks ago here in New York at our new offices. NRF has just opened an office in New York City. We're here in Midtown today, and we'll be here on a regular basis. And we had a group together a few weeks ago. We spent a lot of time on the topic of organized retail crime. And I think as a couple of those CEOs pointed out, part of the story that maybe doesn't get emphasized enough is the extraordinary investments retailers are making now and have been making for quite some time to create the right kind of experience, the right kind of safety for consumers, for their associates, for those communities. And it, of course, continues to be something like a number of issues from a policy perspective on which we're working. And we'll continue to do that to make sure we've got the resources aligned in the right ways to keep serving customers.
And what was the go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, and you were asking about what products or purchases might be in people's minds. In our customer survey that we did recently, actually gift cards, interesting enough, continues to be a very popular gift. And again, our survey showed about 55% are saying that they like to receive them, and that's what they're probably going to give. And then next in line would be clothing and accessories. Certainly a traditional in recent years, maybe the last decade, is video games and media. And then, of course, finally, kind of a follow-up is beauty items. So hopefully that gives you some insight on what we're learning from our consumer survey.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Appreciate it. Shelby?
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Jacqueline Pizer with Washington Post. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about inventory this year. You know, the last 2 years, they were too extreme. So I want to know what you're seeing this year and how or will that impact discounts for customers.
Well, thanks for your question. The recent data on inventory from the census inventory sales seems to be better in alignment for the holidays. We don't have any specific data by firm. That's usually kept pretty close to the vest. In my speaking to several firms, they feel that they have things untangled from earlier this year because there had been a kind of a carryover from certain products. So, you know, my best understanding is it's trying to get the calculus correct for the holiday season, having the right products at the right time at the right price. So we're hopeful that that's going to happen this year. But I don't believe that there's anybody from my understanding, that's well out of line for going into this holiday season. Of course, when they order their products, it happens usually about 6 months earlier. So their guesses are really as good as anybody else in terms of when consumers are going to get to the stores or get online and what they're going to purchase.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Shelby?
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Suzanne Kapner with The Wall Street Journal. Your line is open.
Oh, hi, Jack. Could you just clarify what you said about home heating prices? Because I thought, oil is actually going to be more expensive. Like, it's only natural gas that's less expensive. Could you just talk about that in a little bit more detail?
Yes. Again, I'm just using the data that comes from the EIA and using their information that was just recently released, I think last week or the week before. And a larger portion of the United States, though, I believe uses natural gas, and that is supposed to be down because of inventories being well underway. That, again, when they make their forecast, they have to make some estimations and assumptions about at the time. Now, I think that your point is well taken, given the geopolitical issues right now, that oil could be elevated and stay elevated, given what we're hearing. So that could switch things around for those people who are more dependent on heating oil than on natural gas. But it's kind of a hard gauge right now to know what those outcomes could be.
Got it. And just one other quick question. So when you strip out inflation, your estimate for holiday sales growth is basically flat, right? And when you compare to like the 10-year average pre-pandemic, inflation was pretty low back then. So is it like a fair comparison?
Well, it is, because actually, if you look at the PCE price index for retail that came out last week, retail and food services combined was only up 1.3% year over year. Now, if you start to take out gasoline and food services, we see prices in somewhere in the range of anywhere between 0.5% to 1%. Are you familiar with GAFL calculation, which includes furniture, home furnishing stores, electronics, appliances, clothing, and accessories? And the GAFL index using that PCE is on a year-over-year basis is only plus 0.4%. And it's been coming down for the last 3 months. So I think retail pricing is sizably lower than the overall CPI as well as the PCE price index.
Okay, thank you.
Shelby?
Thank you. We'll take our next question from David Moyne with Women's Wear Daily. Your line is open.
Yeah, thanks. Actually, both questions were asked about categories of inflation. Thanks.
It's always good to hear from you, David.
And we'll take our next question from Scott Cousins with Hearst. Your line is open.
Thank you. I think Matt had previously talked about Black Friday being not the current start, but the traditional. One of the things we've seen around here is in 2021, very low crowds, in some case, ghost towns. Coming back in 22, what do you predict as far as physical shopping numbers for that weekend?
For the for Black Friday weekend?
Yes.
Yeah, we have not surveyed that yet, but we intend to. And as, when we do, we'll make sure that you get those numbers.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Shelby?
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Hannah Lang with MarketWatch. Your line is open.
Hi there. Thank you guys for hosting the call this afternoon. I'd like to talk about, Jack, what you mentioned about consumer confidence and other headwinds in the economy. How are you guys reconciling consumers' maybe uncertainty about the economy or trepidation about the way things are headed with this growth or continued spending that we're also expecting through the holiday season? Do you have any sense from what you all are hearing of how that disconnect may be playing out for consumers or your households?
Well, this disconnect has been going on all year, where mm-hmm. consumer confidence and sentiment has been at very low levels. It doesn't seem like it's consistent with what consumers are doing. I think that the fact that consumer feels still pretty good about their household finances, they've been secure about their jobs. I think in many ways, I think the key point of the difference is largely inflation. We were at a period of time for almost 10 years where there was zero inflation. And I think there's many households, probably young households, that have no recollection of what it was like in many ways, where it was, where we were a decade ago. So I think it's inflation, and I think it's concern about the economy, and I think some of that is, in my view, in my opinion, is somewhat political in terms of how people see how the economy is performing. So there is this disconnect. And it's really hard to reconcile it when you start looking at spending. But spending has come down in the last few months on a year-over-year basis on the retail numbers that we publish. So I think there's a bit of a momentum that'll carry us in a, both a positive, but also in a slightly slower pace than what we had seen earlier this year.
And can I just, this is Matt Shea, can I just add, I think Jack's exactly right, that, and we've seen this not just this year, as Jack said, but we see this every year. We do this in all of the work we do looking at consumer behavior, is there are consumer attitudes and then there are consumer actions. And inflation impacts their attitude. People are aware that inflation is higher. They're sensitive to it. They're thinking about it. And as a result, their attitude, their confidence levels may be not as high. But as long as the job market is as strong as it is, their actions are going to continue to power the economy. And so the connection to behavior is really confidence about the labor market and wages. And inflation is on their minds. They know about it. They think things aren't great. But yet they go out and spend money because they have jobs and they're getting wage increases. So I think, you know, there is a disconnect frequently between attitudes and actions, and I think this is an example of they have one attitude, but that is not impacting their actions.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Shelby.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Barbara Thau with Chamber of Commerce. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. I'm speaking of the job market. I'm interested in how little I hear in the retail, in retail conversations and in conferences and what have you about the work from home or the hybrid work economy and its impact on the retail industry. There was an interesting story in the Journal the other day about how strip malls are benefiting from traffic patterns. Can you say anything about that, about how this, you know, really seismic shift is impacting retail and what we'll see this holiday season as a result of it? Thanks.
Well, I'll take a shot and we'll let others speak up. Yes, in fact, because of remote work, there's probably more non-store online activity that is associated with the shoppers. Which isn't all that bad, you know. It's a channel for spending, and your point is well taken. That as people are moving away from maybe the center cities, they will still want to have the convenience of doing some in-store shopping. So we do see that happening in many parts of the United States, and it's been difficult for some center cities because it's just you don't have the traffic, and they're adjusting accordingly. But we are just going to have to see how this works. I mean, many companies are adjusting how they want their workforce. And I don't think we can just jump too quickly on what's happening today and how it'll plan out going out to into the future. It's my view.
Matt, any thoughts? Okay. Shelby, I know we've only got a few minutes left, so let's try to get through these.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Melissa Daniels with Modern Retail. Your line is open.
Good morning. Thanks all for the information today. I just wanted to touch base again on the credit situation and the debt that consumers are incurring. Are you at all looking at what kind of financing they might be doing that's not on a traditional credit card, like a buy now, pay later? You know, what other kind of financial tools are you expecting people to use this season?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't think, you know, we've seen obviously a strong pickup in BOPIC and in a lot of the ways that the consumer is trying to ensure that they have what they need and want at the price they want to pay and when they want to pick it up. But I you know, in terms of the financing, the stores work with their customers, and we have not heard of any dramatic pickup in that. On the layaway programs, even though many of the stores have those. We'll look into that a little bit further and see if we can't get some better numbers for you.
Great, thanks.
Shelby?
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Daniel Munoz with the Virgin Record.
Hey, thanks for doing this. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Can you say a little bit more about the mall experience in 2023? Like, how is that different from, say, like 20 years ago? I'm wondering, like, how's the mall experience changed? Is it like a bit more about the purchase, more than just the purchase? I know the phrase shoppertainment has been thrown around. What are malls doing, or what should they be doing to attract patrons in this era of inflation and high interest rates and online shopping convenience? Thanks.
So this is Matt Shea. That you know, it's an interesting question. It's probably outside the scope of the economic forecast. It's not really part of this forecast. Bill mentioned a bit ago we'll do the Thanksgiving weekend survey that will identify various consumer behaviors, trends, where they're shopping, how they're shopping, when they expect to be out. And I think, you know, you mentioned over this 20-year period or so, it's obviously been a big evolution in the way consumers behave and the way retailers and their partners meet consumer demand and creating the right level of experiences, creating the right opportunities to deliver the goods and products and services that consumers are looking for where and when they want them. And there are always new experiences each and every year. I think the big takeaway, one of the big takeaways from the pandemic over the last couple of years that we've seen is how central the store is and in-person shopping is to the overall experience, and the blended approach of digital engagement and online and in-person and physical shopping all coming together. And that's why you've seen a number of retailers announce major expansions, major investments, store upgrades, remodeling. The store is central to the experience in every way, both shopping on the day of and fulfillment and delivery, and reinforcing the brand integration into the consumer's mind. So I think we'll see more exciting things this season. And for our part up here in New York, it looks, walking around Manhattan, it looks like retailers are getting ready for the holiday season beginning yesterday. And so we're looking forward to the season, and we're grateful that you all joined us for the call today.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the question. And it is noon straight up, so we're going to go ahead and have to end this call. If you have any questions about the forecast, you can contact our media shop at press@nrf.com or call 855-NRF-PRESS. Thanks again for being with us today. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Jack. Please get in touch with us if you have any additional questions. Shelby, this ends the call.